my heart, I have treasured your word. Amen. Your word is truth.
Amen.
It's an awesome song. Thank you for sharing that with us. So my name is Hiram. Hi. I'm from Boston. This is my second summer school truth. I was here last year. And I'm really happy to be here again, to be with you all. So as we are nearing the end of the summer school truth, we are now on the last key topic of the Bible, the last key topic. Usually, when something is presented at the end, it's pretty important because that's how it all kind of ends, right? So the last key topic of the Bible is the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the New Jerusalem. And I don't know what, you know, what your concept is when you hear the New Jerusalem. I know when I was younger, I had concepts. I had a certain kind of understanding, which wasn't correct. You know, for instance, you know, I thought the New Jerusalem was like heaven. It's the place where when we die, we go up into heaven, and they just call it the New Jerusalem in the Bible. That's one of shallow understanding that I had when I was younger. And, you know, or I thought it was something too high of a truth that I wasn't really clear on it. You know, I hear it a lot, people say it, but I wasn't too clear what the New Jerusalem was. But hopefully, a lot of those concepts can be corrected, and we would have a better understanding what the New Jerusalem really is. So before I start, I want to start with a verse, okay? This is actually the first verse in Revelation. Revelation 1:1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his slaves the things that must quickly take place. And he made it known by signs, sending it by his angels to his slave John." So we first have to understand that in the book of Revelation is mainly composed of signs and symbols, okay? And through them, revelation is made known to us. So let me give you an example, okay? In Revelation, you see a lamb on the throne, right? It's not an actual lamb on the throne. No, it's not that's not what it's actually saying. The lamb signifies the redeeming Christ, right? Also, the lion of the tribe of Judah. There isn't an actual lion leading a tribe, right? The lion is just a symbol of the overcoming Christ fighting for his redeemed people, right? And Revelation is full of these symbols. Lampstands signify the churches, right? The stars, the messengers of the churches. So in the same way, the New Jerusalem is a sign, mainly for our understanding. You know, I have this example. I don't know if it will be a good one or not, but it's like, you know, when you have a baby and you can try to explain to the baby, you know, as much as you can, but the baby will not understand what you're talking about because, you know, the baby doesn't know how to speak yet. But when you get a figure or some kind of toy, and actually I did this last week when I showed a baby how to open a pen, and the baby followed and opened the pen, right, using figures. In the same way, there's not enough words, right, that we can utter to fully describe what's on God's heart regarding the New Jerusalem. So what he does is he uses signs and symbols. Right? His revelation, this marvelous revelation is made known to us through mainly signs and revelation, signs and symbols. So the New Jerusalem actually is the final sign. It's the greatest sign presented to us in the Bible. Okay? There's many different pictures, signs, and symbols that the Lord uses, that God uses in the Bible, but this is the greatest sign, right? Because the New Jerusalem is a living organism. It's a living organism. It's a living composition of all of God's redeemed people throughout history, throughout time, okay? But it's also a universal couple, okay? Just bear with me. It's a universal couple. It's a bride of Christ with the husband, Christ. It's a universal couple. It's also a holy place of God for his habitation. It's the eternal dwelling place of God, of God and man. This is very mysterious, right? But for the sake of our understanding, God uses these signs and symbols in the New Jerusalem. You know, right? The New Jerusalem, mainly covered in the last two chapters of the Bible, the high and great wall, right? Signifying separation and protection of God's interest. And what is the wall built with?
Jasper,
precious stones. That really signifies all of you, all of us, all of God's redeemed people, redeemed, fully transformed into precious stones. And it has an appearance of a jasper stone, meaning it signifies, it has an appearance of God. What a marvelous picture, right? Not only that, it has a river flowing down from the throne, signifying the Spirit of God reaching man, you and I, right? The water of life reaching man. The tree of life, two sides of the river, right, for our enjoyment of Christ, our eternal satisfaction. All these are symbols to show us what the New Jerusalem is, okay? So we can say, okay, so let's, the New Jerusalem is the final product of all of God's work throughout time. It's the final product. I know we had the four dispensations pictured yesterday on the board. But after God was working through the age of the patriarchs, age of law, the dispensation of the law, whatever. I'm sorry, I'm just like an invisible visual here that I saw yesterday. But throughout time, God has been working, right? God has been working with man, in man, right? Man rebelled. God judged, but God's still working, right? He's still working, and God became a man, right? Anyway, God has been working, and this is the final product we see. It's the completion of the entire revelation revealed in the Bible. I'm just trying to impress you that this is something this is it, guys. There's nothing after this for us to see. This is it. The New Jerusalem is the completion of the entire revelation in the Bible. Forgive me for using this example, brothers, but okay. A few months ago, you know, a certain movie came out. It's like the completion of all the superhero movie that has been presented in the past 12, 15 years, okay? And by the way, I'm only sharing this example if you promise that this isn't the only thing that you remember after I finish the message, okay? I'm just using this as an example, okay? So you gotta, this is not the focus. But, you know, after the movie came out, I haven't seen it, people were just raving about the ending. It's a three-hour movie. First of all, what movie is a three-hour movie? But then they sit through it, and they say that it only gets better until the end. And the last 30 minutes or so, it's like this epic ending. And they just can't stop raving about it. I'm like, bro, who cares? It's a movie. But that was a big deal to some of the, you know, fans, because it kind of, that was the end of that whole phase of whatever series that they have going on. There wasn't another movie coming out after that for that series, right? That was an end. But imagine the New Jerusalem being the final product, the completion of time in eternity. This is it. This is the final product. It doesn't get any better or higher than this, okay? Okay, so in Roman numeral 2, it also says that this is the masterpiece of God's work. I mean, it's the masterpiece of God's work, okay? And like I said, God has been working throughout time, and until 2,000 years ago, something marvelous happened. There was on the cross, the Lord Jesus went to the cross, but on the cross, something marvelous happened. He created a new item in the universe. It's a new creation. The masterpiece was created. The church was created on the cross, right? That's you and I. Ephesians 2:20 says, "For we are his masterpiece." That's the church. Prior to that, God was working only throughout the old creation, right? But on the cross, he created the new creation. That's the church, the one new man. The greatest creation in the universe. And that's you and I, right? For we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. Wow. And, okay, we are the masterpiece. It says it in the Bible. We believe it. We are the church. We are his masterpiece. But can you look in the mirror and say, wow, I look good. I'm a finished product. I'm just a masterpiece. No, we're not there yet. God is still working, right? Even till now, he's still working in the new creation to gain a final product of his masterpiece. And how does he do it? I mean, that's really Roman numeral 2b, right? By choosing, redeeming, renewing, transforming, and glorifying us. He perfects us, right? According to his desire and builds us up together, builds us up to be his eternal habitation, which is the new Jerusalem. Amen. Wow. We're becoming the new Jerusalem, amen, right? And it's too shallow for us to think that this is something of a physical city, oh, yeah, right? I mean, that's another concept that I had when I was younger that, understandably so. I mean, Jerusalem is a physical, actual city in Israel, right? So New Jerusalem must be some kind of a renovated city. I don't know. I just had these weird concepts. But the New Jerusalem cannot be a physical city. It's composed of, it's a living organism, right? We are the New Jerusalem. Yes, it's a place where God and man dwell together for eternity. And, you know, just, again, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that, you know, the New Jerusalem, we think that heaven is New Jerusalem, right? But in the Bible, it's in Revelation 21:2, it says that I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Concept breaker, right? It actually comes down out of heaven from God. We don't go up into heaven. The New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, okay? So it's, again, it's beyond what we can imagine. I think we are limited in by time and space, but still the Lord is making this marvelous revelation known to us, right? Through his word, through the Bible. Okay, so hallelujah, he's working to get his masterpiece. We are becoming his masterpiece. It's like a caterpillar. Like you would never expect a caterpillar, something looking so disgusting, little fuzzy, worm-looking, insect to become a beautiful butterfly. We are a work in progress. We may be a caterpillar now, but hallelujah, he's working in us to become a butterfly, something that expresses God, right? Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next part, which is kind of like my burden for this section. The New Jerusalem, I'm going to focus on one word of the title. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The New Jerusalem is new. Amen. Because of him. Because Christ is new. Amen. And there's an awesome verse, also in Revelation 21:5. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." Who here doesn't like new things? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. We all want new things. New iPhone, new iPads, new car, whatever it may be. New Jordans, new Nike Air Max, whatever. I don't know what girls like. New dresses, new Birkenstock sandals. I don't know. But we always want something new, right? New. We're always saving up to get something new. But you know what? Behold, I make all things new. actually, when you buy a car, you know, it's funny, when you buy a brand new car, the moment you get in the car and drive out of the parking lot, the car depreciates. Sorry, but that car has already become old. It's no longer new. So everything of the old creation will eventually pass away. The new heavens, the old heavens, the old earth, everything will pass away in the old creation. But hallelujah, Christ himself as newness itself, he will make all things new. And that can really be our experience, you know? I just want to show an example. Can you throw me that water bottle, bro? All right, so he gave me something, and I polish it up, make it new, and then does he just, here you go, bro, new water bottle. Is that how our Lord Jesus works? No. You got to read it carefully, okay? Behold, I, myself, makes all things new. So I give myself to you to make you new, brother. That's what the Lord is doing today. He gives himself to us to make us new, okay? So, you know, as he's working himself by adding himself as newness, little by little we become newer and newer, right? And you know what happens? Our thoughts are new. He's renewing our minds. Our feelings are new. We somehow love the Lord with a new love, right? Our choices are new. He affects every part of our being, right? Our love is new. Everything is new when we get the person, because why? He makes all things new. Amen. Even our love for the Lord can be so fresh. Amen. Why do you think that our love for the Lord never gets old? It can always be refreshed, because he himself is newness. Right? And there, you know, there's a verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And actually, glory implies masterpiece. Masterpiece is something glorious. It's not, somewhat of a masterpiece. No, a masterpiece is magnificent, glorious, majestic. That's a masterpiece. And we ourselves, as Christ is adding himself to us, we are becoming new, and eventually we're being transformed from glory to glory to become his masterpiece. This is what's going on in all of you, man. All of us, we're little by little, you're here, you know, you're here at the Summer School of Truth under the hearing of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, Christ is being added to you. Amen. We're becoming new. Amen. Now tell your neighbor, you're becoming newer and newer. You know? Where's Ethan, bro? No. Ethan here? Where's Ethan at? Ethan, bro, when you're reading the Bible, you're becoming newer and newer, bro. There you are. Sorry, I thought you were back there. You're becoming newer and newer, bro. The Christ is growing in you because he's adding himself into you. Okay? All right, so, and you know, amen, I think I made my point. So, all of us, as we're here, reading your Bible, whatever you do, we're being saturated with newness. Amen. Little by little, we're becoming the new Jerusalem. Amen. And this really can be our foretaste today. Amen. You know, in the beginning, I said that I think of the new Jerusalem as something at a very distant future, which, you know, for eternity will be the new Jerusalem. Yes, that's true, but we can have a foretaste today. Amen. Right? As we touch the Lord, something new is being added to us. As we turn to the Lord, right, we get something new and fresh. When we read the Bible, something new. Yeah, have you had this experience where, you know, people, I mean, how many times have you read the Bible, Brother Dennis? Numerous times. But for some reason, every time we read the Bible, we get something new. Have you had the experience like, whoa, I read this chapter multiple times, but I never saw this before? Isn't that your experience? That's because Christ is embodied in the Word, and He makes all things new.
Amen.
Even in our experience, as you're reading the Word, He'll give you new experiences. Because His newness itself, He makes all things new, right? So that's our foretaste today. We can have a foretaste of the New Jerusalem today, okay? No. Hallelujah. We can become the most glorious item in the universe. We all have the potential, okay? I don't care how naughty you are, how bad you were in the past, how bad you are now. Man, we have the potential to become the most glorious item in the universe, which is the New Jerusalem, okay? And this is what he gets. Although we are getting little by little, at the end of the Bible, at the end of the dispensation, this is what God gets, the New Jerusalem. And you know what's crazy? Try to imagine this. At that point in time, it'll always be enjoyable. It'll be enjoyment upon enjoyment. You know, whatever we do now, you know, we get a little bit of enjoyment by watching that, by playing this. Just a little bit here and there. But can you imagine enjoyment upon enjoyment, where not a single moment is wasted, but you're just enjoying, full of enjoyment of God? That's what the New Jerusalem is. It's hard to fathom it, I know. But you have to believe it. That's what the Word says.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, last week I went to Niagara Falls. The Canadian side, the better side. And, you know, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh my goodness. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. It's majestic. It's bigger than I can ever imagine. But you know what? After staring at it for about an hour, guess what happened? It got old. It wasn't new to me anymore. It's like, same with Grand Canyon. That's the same kind of experience I had with the Grand Canyon. It's everything of the old creation will get old, okay? But in the New Jerusalem, hallelujah, everything will be new forever.
Amen.
Right? You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, things God has prepared for those who love him. You guys may not even realize it. It may have not come up in your heart yet. But guess what? God has prepared it for those who love him. Okay? And it's okay. You may not experience it now. You may not see it now. But just love him. He has prepared it for those who love him. Okay? Anyway, hallelujah. So, you know, what do we do now? I know this is a big topic, the final product, the greatest masterpiece in eternity future, the New Jerusalem. What do we do now? Just start with one touch. Just start with one touch of the Lord. You know, every day we wake up, we touch the Lord, right? We touch the newness. Just touch one verse. We read one verse, you get something new. One word in the Bible, you just come to the Lord fresh, in a fresh way, and the Lord can speak to you something fresh and new. And all that will build up. And that's just a foretaste for what's to come. Eventually, you know, the New Jerusalem, we will become the New Jerusalem, and eternity will be filled with just enjoyment. But right now, we could just start with a small turn, a small touch, a small verse, a short verse, a word in the Bible, and the Lord can speak to us. Okay, and the brother's gonna maybe.
Timothy, and I've been with the junior hires. So just last two times I've been here with you. I really enjoy this summer school too. I've been many years, but I think this is the best.
Amen.
Did you enjoy the sharing on New Jerusalem?
Amen.
Very good, right? New Jerusalem is truly good. You know, we cover quite a few topics, right? Key topics of the Bible. Of course, this year we are on the Bible. My lesson book, let me get it. What are the key topics? Everybody remember? We started with the triune God, right?
Right.
Triune God and what? And the person and work of Christ. That was the first one, the key topics.
Right.
What's the second one? Huh? Man and salvation. Right, man and salvation, second one. The third one, eternal life and believers. And the fourth one,
church.
And now we come, we came last night. The fifth one is the kingdom and the dispensation. I think, I don't know whether the brothers are, when our brother was sharing, they were trying to put it up, but I didn't know whether they did it or not. But anyway, we come to the last one. The last one is New Jerusalem. Of course, we line them up, you know, one by one. New Jerusalem is the last one. New Jerusalem is not just the key topics in the Bible. New Jerusalem is the ultimate one. Oh, good. Yeah. You know, everything has a beginning and the end. When you read a book, if you don't have time to read, how would you read it? Peter, how would you read it? If a book is a big book, you know?
Read the summary.
That's one way. Usually in the back of the book, you know, some of them, they have the summary. If there's no summary, what do you do?
Skip it.
The biblical way is read the first two and read the last two.
Oh, okay.
Right? New Jerusalem, after you know, we prepare, my realization, New Jerusalem is the top stone. Anybody know what is the top stone? Have you ever heard top stone? No. How about sisters? Anybody heard the word top stone? T-O-P-S-T-O-N-E, top stone. In fact, this word is in the Bible.
Amen.
In the Bible. Oh, there's someone that raised their hand? Okay, in the ancient time, when the Jews, you know, when they do a building, they will have the foundation stone, they will have the cornerstone. Then they will have the top stone. When the whole building is built up,
right.
Without the top stone, the building is not finished. So the whole Bible has many topics, many topics. The top stone, the ultimate one, is New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So we need to have such a view concerning New Jerusalem, you know. That's why, you know, when I read the outline, I think you mentioned about the New Jerusalem. It's not the physical city. I kind of wonder why you put it there. Anybody has any thought that New Jerusalem is a physical city? Raise your hand. Not too many, you see. The younger ones, you are very blessed because you are hearing that New Jerusalem is not a physical city first. Our brother heard a little bit. I heard. I don't know whether you heard about it. Many Christians, when people say or through the ministry telling us that the New Jerusalem is not a physical city, they are against this one. Because in the Word,
In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus, before he was going to the cross, he was talking to the disciples. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe into God, believe also into me. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. So where I am, you will be. So based on this verse, for centuries, that all the Christians was taught that the law, how long had the law has been, you know, after, of course, at that time, the law was on the earth. The disciple was there, and the law was talking this word. But today, the law has resurrected and ascended. How many years now?
2,000
years. So the interpretation is, wow, keeping away for 2,000 years, you know, building this, you know, he's going, right? He'll come again. He will, you know, just imagine 2,000 years, the Lord is building what kind of a building,
yeah.
Right?
Marvelous.
So you will have an apartment, I will have an apartment. We all will have an apartment. So all the Christians took this word and believe it. So if you talk to your Christian friends, if they read the word and they heard the sermon, they may have the same idea. But today, through the word, we can see the New Jerusalem is not a physical city. So their dream is gone. So, because most of the Christians, they believe that when we die, we'll go to heaven. And this heavenly mansion, the Lord is building. Now you're saying this is no more physical. So what are we going to get, right? What are we going to get? So we need to really appreciate that today, through the ministry, you know, the lessons now we are learning, we are getting into the real meaning concerning, particularly concerning New Jerusalem, you know. New Jerusalem, our brother mentioned, in the beginning of Revelation. Revelation means unveiling, right? The book of Revelation, God gave to John. He used signs. You know, when you drive into the camp, there were signs in the beginning of the road, right?
Yeah.
But what does that sign mean? Is that sign means the camp? No. It's just pointing to something else, pointing to here, right? So the signs itself is not that real thing. So in view of this, and our brother gave us many examples, in Revelation there are many signs. In fact, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he did many miracles, right? But those miracles, the actual word, are signs. So there are many signs in the Bible. The ultimate sign is the New Jerusalem, okay? So if we have such a view, we will realize what God is using something, seemingly it's physical, to point us to something that is so high, so glorious, so mysterious. This is just kind of like, you know, if I give Hiram a gift, a big gift, you know, all the junior has, you know, when we mentioned that the Lord gave us two greatest gifts, right? First one is what? First one is the Spirit. And the second one is the Bible, you know. So I gave him a big gift. And at the end, I packed, you know, very well. And at the end, I tied a beautiful ribbon. But if I don't tie the knot, and I gave to him, the whole thing is going to fall apart, right? So we need to see that New Jerusalem is just kind of a knot that the Lord has been doing so much throughout the centuries and thousands of years. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he said, my Father works until now. I'm also working. But God the Father, God the Son working so long, what's the ultimate outcome? That is the New Jerusalem. Okay? So I hope that we all will have such an impression and that we will learn to use the word to help our Christian brothers and sisters, not in the church, that we ourselves will be fully convicted. My realization originally was it's physical, but eventually, when I heard the word, and I had the thought, yes, it is maybe half. So I still have a little hope of the apartment in the heavens, but the more I'm sitting in the, listening to the messages, I just realized, forget about it. Right. All the apartments. I don't want to wish for you. I don't want to wish for myself. So the New Jerusalem is something glorious, mysterious, divine, and heavenly. Yeah. So I hope that this is clear. Okay, on the New Jerusalem, in the Old Testament, God already had a picture there. We think New Jerusalem is only in the book of Revelation. In fact, there another two books gave us the picture of the New Jerusalem. That is Galatians and also Hebrews. In Hebrews, it mentioned Jerusalem is the Jerusalem above. And in Galatians, it mentioned chapter 4 that we are born of the Jerusalem above, and or heavenly Jerusalem. But in the Old Testament, there was already the picture concerning the New Jerusalem. That is when the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, right? They were just, a group of, they were slaves in Egypt. They came out, it was just kind of I don't know how they go through the Red Sea. I don't think there was a kind of a, when we lined up for the breakfast or lunch or dinner, I don't believe they come out that way. I believe they just kind of a family, everybody crossed over the Red Sea. But when the Lord brought the children of Israel to the mountain of God, he gave them law, and eventually God told them, God wanted to number them. Number them. So in the book of Numbers, we see the picture that God numbered the 20 years older ones. They were supposed to have the military service to fight for God. So then afterwards, all the people were numbered. And God told them how to, Mount of God, they built a tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. So the dwelling place of God became a center. And on the four sides, there were three sides, three tribes on each side. So four sides, how many tribes? 12 tribes. So 12 tribes were surrounding that tabernacle. So if at that time you take an airplane or a helicopter, if you go and take a picture, you will see that picture is like the picture of New Jerusalem. Because New Jerusalem is square. New Jerusalem is square. And New Jerusalem, every side has three gates. So it's 12 gates. So this picture shows us that even in the Old Testament, God already had the view, his people when they come out. They are his people, and eventually it should be in the New Jerusalem. So I just want to mention this to you. And that picture, very striking. I think, recently we had a training on the book of Numbers. And a deep impression was kind of like last night's sharing. Last night's sharing was concerning the kingdom, how to be in the kingdom of God. Is, your kingdom come. By what way the kingdom come?
Say amen.
Say amen, right. And there was another point mentioned by both brothers. Anybody remember? By growth in life.
Right.
By growth in life. I hope we all keep this phrase in our being, that we all need to grow. When we grow, then we can be numbered and to be God's army, okay? So this is what we see in the book of Numbers, and which is a picture of what the Lord wants to show us in the New Jerusalem. My burden this morning, in fact, is New Jerusalem, is it in the future or today? In the broadly mentioned, our church life today should be a, I think somebody mentioned, should be a miniature, right? Of the New Jerusalem. Should be, right? Because we should have the, in fact, you know, during the summer school too, I think it's a good picture, right? Because we have the enjoyment, our brother said, enjoyment upon enjoyment, right? So, even the singing, you know, every time when we, you know, I've been with the junior high more, I mean, when they sing, you were there, they just, you know, enjoy to the uttermost. Even our brother when there was affected, right? There was a hymn, J-E-S-U-S, right? So everyone goes there, that hymn will be infused into you. That is enjoyment. And that enjoyment is a foretaste of the enjoyment of the New Jerusalem. But he also said that every one of us, if you are sitting here, you should be a New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Did you believe? Did you believe? I have questions, sorry to say. But last night I was sitting here, I was convicted. How do we know, or how can we be New Jerusalem today? Okay, we have the picture here, right? Okay, New Jerusalem, there are six circles here. The beginning and the end, one is eternity past, and the other one is eternity future. And in between the four, there are the four dispensations we covered last night. The last circle, what's the last circle? It has a center, right? A square. That is New Jerusalem.
Right.
Is any in the circle before that? We don't see it. But the circle before the last one has a New Jerusalem. But still, that is during the kingdom age. Maybe we all can read some of the verses together. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. That is to the church in Philadelphia. You know, like our brother mentioned, the Lord asked John to write seven epistles and send to the seven churches in Asia. And then the Lord spoke through the messengers to all the churches, the seven churches. And the Lord spoke to them. And at the end, there was a kind of a warning and also some the Lord has promises, okay? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 is starting to the Lord speak to the church in Philadelphia, right? Okay, let's read verse 7 together. And to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, "This thing says the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David, the One who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens." So this, the Lord spoke about himself first before he speak to the church. And This epistle also gives us the way how we can become overcomers and how we can be New Jerusalem. Okay, let's read toward the end. Toward the end, the Lord said, he who overcomes. Okay, verse 12. Let's read verse 11 first. I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. 12. Name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God and my new name. So here it has the term New Jerusalem. And the Lord said, he who overcomes, the Lord will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, and my new name. So here, whoever overcomes, the Lord will write on you. What? The name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. What does that mean? You know, I have a name tag. If I put name tag, if this was written here on me, what does that mean? If I have my name here, means what? This is mine, right? Belongs to me. So when God writes his name, that belongs to God. We belong to God. And you can also say we are identified with God. Or we are one with God, or we belong to God. I was struck by this phrase, write the city of my God, that is holy city, you know, New Jerusalem, on us. So whenever when we enjoy the Lord, guess what? He who overcomes, right? The Lord will write on you. New Jerusalem. When I read it this way, I was fully convinced that today, every one of us, on one hand, New Jerusalem, most of the people think New Jerusalem is in the eternity future. But New Jerusalem is also in the circle before the last one, because the Lord speaking to the churches, to the seven churches in Asia, he was telling them that they were the local churches physically at that time in Asia Minor. And of course, their situation, most of them, was not so good. There was some degradation, but to the church in Philadelphia, the Lord said, had this promise to them. So today, if we, the content of the to the church in Philadelphia, there we will see the Lord, in fact, gave us a way today that we can experience the New Jerusalem. So I just go with you quickly some of the things mentioned in the epistle to the church in Philadelphia. So we all can, through this short epistle to Philadelphia, we will see why to them God has given such a promise, okay? That's starting with the Chapter 3, verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. This one verse gave us a way that today we can be on the way. Even today, the Lord, if you overcome, the promise is what? The Lord will write the New Jerusalem on you. And what's special about the church in Philadelphia? It's because they have a little power. Okay? Our brother said, starting with one verse or one chapter or something. One word. So all of us, you know, we encourage all of you to read the word. That is not a small thing. Because that the Lord promised, right? We have a little power if we have kept his word. Then also mentioned about keeping his name. So we have many hymns, you know, we enjoy in the morning. They're all about the Lord's name, you know. When we enjoy them, let me tell you, we are overcoming. When we are enjoying them, the Lord promised that with a little power, we're keeping his name and we're keeping his word. The Lord has a promise for us, okay? Maybe we can read on to the next verse. Okay, verse 9.
Behold, I will make those of the
synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and fall prostrate before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So this verse was at that time, the church in Philadelphia, that was in Asia Minor, and they were facing some situation concerning the Jews, the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue was the gathering for the Jews. But that gathering for the Jews, they come together to read God's word. But those people, on one hand, reading God's word, on the other hand, they became a synagogue of Satan. That means they are letting the devil using that kind of gathering for the devil's purpose, okay? Okay, let's continue. Verse 10, because you have kept my word of my endurance, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial, which is about to come on the whole inhabited earth, to try them who dwell on the earth. The Lord pretty much was telling the church in Philadelphia, there will be some situation. But that word, in fact, was not just to one church in Philadelphia. It was sent to the seven churches. In other words, seven churches, they all received this epistle to Philadelphia. And that epistle today is in our hand. So this is also speaking to us that at the end of this age, before the Lord's coming, there will be the great tribulation. You know, this is what the Lord said, you know, that tribulation will come to try all who live on the earth. But the Lord, based on the promise here, the Lord will keep us. I will also keep you out of the hour of trial. It didn't say, keep you out of the trial. Keep you out of the trial. That means the Lord will put you in another place. But to keep you out of the hour of the trial means at that hour, when it comes, will you be in that hour? No, you won't be in that hour. You will be taken. So this is the promise that when we overcome that, when the great tribulation comes, we'll be kept out of the trial, the hour of trial. Okay, Revelation 3:11. I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. So the promise was in the church in Philadelphia, they already have the crown, right? That's why the Lord said, hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. So you already have the crown. So today, you know, when we are in the enjoyment of the Lord, guess what? There's something glorious we have. And we should continue. So saying we encourage you to continue to come back to the Summer School of Truth. Because we continue our enjoyment and the Lord has all the promises for us. Okay, so I just want to share some of this to you. The last thing I want to share is concerning the New Jerusalem has a great wall. And this great wall
our brother mentioned the Great Wall is for separation and protection. Separation means it separates what's behind the wall and outside the wall. So today, we all in the church life, even in our personal living, there should be a kind of wall to protect us. And this wall, according to Revelation, it has 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles. And in fact, the building up of the church today is building up the wall, because the apostles, the names of the apostles represent all the New Testament believers. So today, for the building, we have to remember, if I'm alone, can I be building? No. It has to be, we have to be with someone else, right? To be built up. That's why we're very burdened. That even when you read the word, if you can read with someone else, and then it will not just be you reading the word, but you too will be built up. You know, one sister shared this morning that she has been praying with others, reading the word together, and that is building the wall of New Jerusalem. Amen. And that is the building of the church. So I hope that we all, the two or three is the principle of the body. The body is not just one member. The body is has many members. It can start with two or three. So I hope that we will have such a view concerning that, that today the wall should be up. The wall up is for the, on one hand, for the separation. And on the other hand, is for the protection. Today, when we are together, God's interest is protected while we are being built up. So we should not be left alone, because the enemy, Peter experienced very much the enemy's attack. That's why in his epistle, he said the devil is like a roaring lion, you know, seeking someone to devour. So whenever we are left alone, you are the one that became the target. So I hope all of us, you know, will have someone that we can relate to, and we can build up together. So the wall, in fact, the first function of the wall is expression. The protection and separation is later, because the wall, in fact, in the New Jerusalem, they are the same color as the one who sit on the throne. In Revelation 4:3 mentioned about the one on the throne, he has the appearance of what? Jasper. And the wall has the color of jasper. You know what we are doing here? The Lord is changing your color. Changing your color to what color?
Jasper.
Jasper is what color?
Green.
Green. So all of us, don't feel bad you're a certain color or you're, you know, this, that. Let me tell you, the Lord is changing our color. In fact, the wall also signifies transformation, because Peter was an apostle, right? One of the layer. And he was a dirt, you know, he was dirt, because we're all made of out of the dust. And Peter, of course, said, you know, the Lord is living stone. We come to him. We are also living stone. That means Peter was dead too, right? But today, the Lord is making us living. The Lord is also transforming us, so we can be his expression. You know, eventually you see the whole city, you just see, wow, green. And it's transparent. And this is what the Lord is doing with all of us. So praise the Lord that we can have such a lesson. And the Lord also gave us a way that we can go on. Do you have a little power? I think, you know, we don't have a big power, at least a little power we have, right? The Lord said, you have a little power. That means, what should we say?
Amen.
How about let's all say, amen.
Amen.
We have little power for what? To keep the Lord's word.
Amen.
By reading it. And by keeping the Lord's name. By daily calling on his name. You know, singing praises to his name. So I'm just very thankful that today we're covering such a lesson,
and seeing the lesson in the proper view, that what the Lord has revealed to us. Amen.